Hey everyone, if you're not sure whose job it is to create a roadmap, if you don't know who should be doing that within your company and who should help with it and also have a say, well, then I have a very interesting video for you because we'll be talking about that with our very own fractional CPO and consulting lead, Miguel Augustin. And myself, I'm Victor Perolnik, I'm the founder of TrustShoring. And what we do at TrustShoring is we help SaaS companies build productive development teams, right? And we do that by doing two things. Number one, we recruit and source developers, software houses, dedicated people, freelancers, all those for you. Within 4 weeks, we have a pre-vetted, available, and interested person for you. And then we also provide the strategic guidance if you lack any of that by linking up with super experienced fractional CTOs and CPOs with real scale-up, startup, enterprise experience. So make sure to check that out. If you have any questions, reach out, book a call, happy to talk. But now let's dive into our topic of today with Miguel, which is who owns the product roadmap?
That's an interesting one because it is everyone's job to contribute to the roadmap. The product team needs to lead the effort. The product team needs to gather all the initiatives, all the requests, all the ideas. They need to qualify those ideas with marketing, with sales, with customer support, with a bunch of other teams, account management. They also need to qualify them in terms of effort, in terms of cost, in terms of software development effort and cost, potentially other costs. If there is integrations involved with third parties, if there is new hosting involved. So the product team needs to lead that conversation. But the content itself, really, is not just product management. It needs to be a collaboration with the rest of teams, which is why roadmaps take a bit of time to make at the beginning, because there's a decent amount of work to do. But, you know, once you have them, they're kind of easy to maintain if you have the discipline. You need discipline for this. But if there is discipline in the team, they're kind of easy to maintain because you just have to keep those conversations going and you just keep updating the roadmap. The good thing about roadmap is roadmaps are not meant to be kept in a drawer. So when they're made, when they're ready, they should be communicated, clarified, explained to the rest of the company. And of course, any feedback is taken into consideration to update the roadmap in the next iteration. So it is really a collaborative effort between the different teams in the company led by product management. I've worked with companies that had, you know, many companies have roadmap issues. Usually the challenge is not to know the priorities. Like companies will know what the priorities are for the things that they want to do. It's not knowing what to do or in which order. Maybe the order depending on the technology, but that's not normally the issue. The issue is to actually know when they can work on that, when they can plan to work on it, which is, you know, the added value of a roadmap in terms of the timeline. And then we have to differentiate the different issues that we have to tackle. There are like three big issues, big buckets that we have to tackle. One is from the product development lifecycle, the PDLC, which is the one that gets you from having an idea to implementing that product idea to operating the product and, you know, revenue. And from that sense is maturing the idea slowly, but, you know, in good time, so that when it gets to implementation, it has the right requirements, right justification. It is understood by the development teams. It's clear what needs to be implemented. And there's no back and forth questions. And there's no kind of middle in the middle of development, just stopping to figure something out that could have been understood before. So there is a process for organizing that grooming of the product idea before it gets implemented. And that's one thing that, you know, helps a lot the companies. I've done it with several companies. It's counterintuitive because you imagine that having to define all of them, refine the idea before you implement feels a bit counterintuitive, but in reality, it makes the teams a lot faster. It's one good way for the teams to collaborate and help with the product idea, with the feature before it gets implemented so they can influence the trajectory of the idea. So that's one big part, is not getting to implementation without having a clear understanding of what is being built and what is in the scope and what is not in the scope. Another thing that that usually happens in terms of product development lifecycle is the misunderstanding that the roadmap represents everything that the development team is working on. There is a learning process that we can go through to understand everything as a development team has to work on, from fixing bugs, production maintenance and support, making small changes. So the actual roadmap, which is the big bets of the company, is not 100% of the team capacity. There's a process to understand how much capacity can the team dedicate to roadmap, or should the team dedicate to roadmap, and how much is left for the other operational tasks that have to be done anyways. So that's another big thing that needs to be tackled. And then there is a third one, which is also important, which is the software development lifecycle, the SDLC, in terms of how the team, the development team, actually implements these ideas, how they contribute to the product development, which could be in Scrum, you know, Scrumban, Kanban. There are many methodologies nowadays. But most important is, how do they get to an accurate estimation, right? And how to get to a place where the reliability on the estimations is very, very high. So when they tell me it's going to be so many story points, I can convert that into time, into a timeline. And I know I can rely on that estimation. And why is that is important is because of the predictability. If I know the development team can do so many story points and they're reliable in that sense, per sprint, when they give me the estimation, I can then, using the number of story points they burn per sprint, I can then convert that into a timeline in my roadmap, knowing what percentages I want to give for roadmap and for other operational stuff, like we said. So the third bucket really is working with the development team and becoming very predictable in their story points, in their estimations, and in the way they work, which doesn't have to be. It eventually evolves into being high-performant, really. These teams eventually become high-performing, but the basis of it at the beginning is, let's just stabilize, let's just find ways to become predictable so that we know what we're dealing with.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Miguel. If you enjoyed this video as much as I have, let us know in the comments. If you have any questions, comment as well. And of course, if you want to watch the other videos and stay tuned for more, well, subscribe here on YouTube or our newsletter, because our newsletter contains more information, longer talks that we can't publish here. We'll be creating materials pretty soon with like cheat sheets and things like that. So you get that there. The link will be in the description, of course. And our next video will be addressing one of the most common questions that we're getting. And that is, do small teams or small startups need a product roadmap? When do you even need one? So if you're curious about that, when it makes sense, well, see you soon.